with our scripture passage. It's Genesis chapter 7. And I know, hold on to your seats. We're doing verses 6 to 16 today. I know everybody's going, wow, 11 whole verses. What happened, Tom? You'll find out. Okay, Genesis chapter 7, verses 6 to 16. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings, pairs of all creatures that have breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female, and everything, every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. We thank you that you are a gracious God. And we thank you, Father, that you're greater than the sound issues we're having here this morning. We just pray for your hand to touch them and that these things will be cleared up. And Father, we pray that as we come to your word this morning, that we would just recognize the truth that you have for us, how you'd have it apply to our lives, and what things we should carry forth from this place with it. So Lord, direct us, guide us, let nothing of man be involved, Father, but only what you have for us. For we just lift this time before your throne now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you heard the saying lately, we're living a new normal? Are you getting kind of sick of it? Yeah. Well, if you think about it, things that affect our lives that have a big impact on us are those things that make a mark in our lives so that they change forever, bringing us to a new normal. I mean, that saying, a new normal, is something I, as a chaplain for the sheriff's office, have understood for the 12 years plus that I have been on the chaplaincy, that when people go through a traumatic event, their life changes, and now they have to live a new normal. And we all have had these kind of changes in our lives. Think about some of the things, the life-changing events in your life. What are some of the ones that you can remember? Just like they were yesterday. Nobody wants to fess up.
Heart attacks.
Heart attacks. Yeah, set your calendar. Yep, this was the day. Coming up again.
The death of people you care for.
The death of loved ones, yeah. Yep. You know, for some people it might be a wedding, the birth of a child. I know I talked to a lot of young fathers who said, man, the first time I held that baby, I knew my life had changed. Something was different. And it really affected their lives. What about the day you asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior? There's a lot of people who have marked that day on the calendar and they remember it like it was yesterday. How about a major health event like a heart attack or a national disaster? If you go to the East Coast today, you can ask people, where were you on 9/11? And they'll tell you exactly where they were. I'm sure there's a lot of people in New York right now who could say where they were when they caught COVID-19 and how it affected their lives. You know, these are the kind of things that make a mark on our lives, and we mark our mental calendar about them and make a record of them and the details in our hearts and minds. We find ourselves living a new normal from these events in our lives. Well, as we come to verses 6 to 9, I'm going to read them again. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, birds of all and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. Well, you know, you think about it, as we've read all of these verses and these verses here today, we get the sense that something pivotal has happened in the lives of Noah and his family for them to know that this was the beginning of a new normal for them. That this was a place that a new way of life was about to begin. Well, how can we say that? We can see it reflected through the emphasis that's put here in the total passage in these 11 verses. How many times have we read who entered the ark? And the detail of who entered the ark. Several times we're told that Noah and his wife, his sons and his sons' wife, and all the animals and all the creatures, the clean and the unclean, the cattle, the of the field, the beasts that crawl along the ground, all of them that God brought to Noah entered the ark. It's told to us again and again. And you know, if you think about it, when you tell of an event that was life-changing to you, you remember details. You remember who was with you, what the sky was like that day. You remember all these things, so you get the sense that this is what's coming through here. And we also can see here that everything that God said, all of His commands were followed and obeyed, and His promise to save those who believe was accepted by all those who were entering the ark. All those who took God at His word. Every living, breathing creature of all kinds, as they went aboard, male and female, everything that God had commanded, it was as God had commanded. So one can only imagine how they felt. Could you imagine being Noah and his sons and all their wives standing there, peering out the one door that goes into the ark and taking one last look at the world the way they knew it, knowing from that day forward the world would be completely changed? They were leaving that world behind. That world was now going to be destroyed. How many times have you rushed to the airport because you dawdled or did something you shouldn't have done, or left a little later than you should have for the airport from the house? Has that ever happened to anybody here? Oh yeah, it's happened to all of us. We all tend to run late for things at times. In verses 10 to 12, it says, "And after 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heavens were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights." Well, all the last minute details were accomplished, and they got them done on time. There was no being late for this ship to leave port. The 7 days had passed quickly, and now it was time for the judgment to begin. And this event made such an impact on their lives that the exact date was recorded for its happening. Now, this is my paraphrase. February 17th, 1656 AC, after creation. Okay. They had the date written. That's how much it affected their lives. And the fact that the date was recorded brings even more emphasis to the fact that this was an actual event. It was historical and not allegorical, as so many say it is. Noah and his family didn't miss this boat. Every animal that God pressed on his heart, their hearts, to go, were there to not miss the boat. How many of you have read your insurance policies for your vehicles, your homes, and stuff like that? I mean, read all of it. Do you ever come to the, see that, it's just skimming through it sometimes, do you ever come to the clause where it says it, the acts of God, they're not quite covered? Okay. You know, what was it that made this event so memorable for Noah and his family? So that all these details of what happened were so important to them. Well, if you think about it, it's fulfillment to God's decree that the rain, heavy rain, began to fall. And then something that had never happened before happened. The great springs of the deep burst forth, gushing water up from the earth. You know, as I was reading this and thinking about it, it came to my mind, there's some place in Montana I've never been that I want to go. It's in Great Falls. Anybody know what it is? Great
Springs.
Yeah, Giant Springs State Park. There you can go and stand three quarters of the way around this spring with water just bubbling up from the ground and running down into the Missouri River. You know, imagine all of the springs of the earth breaking forth and bringing that water upon the earth. This was a significant event. It involved the skies above and the earth below. And if we think back to the first day of creation, where God divided the waters from above and the waters from below, he created a vapor canopy over the entire earth. The psalmist writes in Psalm 148:4, he says, "Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies." So God separates the waters and creates this canopy over the earth. And then in the waters below, he rises up and creates the ground. So it rises up from the water. But still, there are vast seas and rivers that run through the land and the seas that are around the land. And the rivers all had their sources from these subterranean reservoirs. What do we call them today? Where do we get our water today? In wells.
Aquifers,
yeah. Well, it depends on where you come from. Aquifers or aquifers. You know? So all of these aquifers all of a sudden burst open and they spring up from the earth and continually water it. And bringing more and more water. You know, when Job was having his pity party, and God comes to speak to him in Job 38, God says to Job, "Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep?" See, God was saying, "Job, you don't get who created all of this. You don't understand how it all works." And see, these are the things that God brings together to bring judgment upon the earth. The flow of this water to the earth was all controlled and driven by the engine of the earth's core. And the heat produced there, created and established by God to keep things running. How many of you have gone and bought a brand new car with no motor in it? I don't think anybody here would go do that, would we? Well, when God created the earth, he created an engine inside the earth to keep things running. And that's the earth core. Now, all God would have to do would be turn up the heat in the core just enough to start all of this judgment to come. A small degree of change would create all these fractures in the earth. The fractures would then affect the atmosphere, which would bring a cooling. And guess what? What comes when it gets cooler? Rain or snow? For them, it's rain. Okay, the atmosphere is cooling and the water is dropping off out of the atmosphere. All of this coming together to create an event where the rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Just as God said it would in verse 4. Well, in verses 13 to 16, They go on. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moved along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind. Everything with wings, even pterodactyls. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing as God commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut them in. Were there any animals left behind? Were there any animal kinds left out? So did all the dinosaurs make it on the ark? Yeah, all the dinosaurs made it on the ark. A lot of people say, "Oh no, there were no dinosaurs on the ark." God says all, every. So there were dinosaurs on the ark. Okay, of course they weren't big gigantic ones. They were infants or they were teenagers, so that they could populate the earth well and not take up a lot of space at the same time. But they were all there. But I want you to get the point here. Again, it is stressed from what is said in these verses so that all who would hear about this event, would know that it was true about everyone who entered the ark. Noah and his family and all the different kinds of animals, birds and creatures, everything with the breath of life in them which came to Noah, all of them entered the ark to be there with Noah. Either pairs of twos or pairs of seven, depending on whether they're clean or unclean. Have you ever called somebody up and said, "Hey, we're having a party tonight. You want to come?" They say, "No, that's not a good time for me." How do you deal with that? What if you call them three times and they keep saying that, or four times and they keep saying that, or five times and they keep saying that, you know, or you've invited them to dinner for four or five times and you keep getting this. You going to call them back? No. After a while, it's going to be like, "Hey, why bother? You know, they're not going to come anyways." Well, this was one journey that none of these folks or animals that were going on the ark wanted to miss. Because they took God at His word and took His invitation to come, and they did everything that He commanded them. They didn't go in a week early or expect God to wait until the timing was a little better for them as they shuffled their feet along. "Well, you know, I just need one more pair of shoes to take with me, Noah, so I'll be there in a few minutes." And He's like, "No, now. We need to go now." They went in when they were told to. And now they had the assurance that they were under God's protection because God is the one who shuts them in, closing the door to the world outside them and into the ark of their salvation, sealing them in so that they would be safe and secure. They were sealed in by God's own hand. Now the old life, the old world, and the old world were dead to them. Now they had a new life to look forward to, a new normal in a new world. This was an event that would change their lives forever. The salvation that God provided for them, the ark, would carry them through safely, enduring the battering and the buffeting of the waves of the flood upon it. Can you think being in that ship? Now, there's been a lot of models, and all the models have found out you can't turn that ship upside down. It'll rock back and forth, and even the way it was designed from what they see in the scriptures, it won't tip way up. It'll tip and it'll buffet through the waves like this. So there was tossing and turning, and they would be buffeted side to side and a little bit back and forth, but it would not be anything that would throw them off their feet or take them out in a sense that it would make them feel like, I'm going off the ark. Help, help, please, man overboard. You know, that wasn't going to happen to them because God had sealed them in. God would be there watching them. The world that they were leaving would be destroyed, but they would come safely through, held in God's protecting hand. In John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And I want you to think about this in the perspective of Noah and the animals. Noah and his family, his sons and all their wives, they listened to the voice of God, they followed him, and they went into the ark when God asked them to, along with all the animals. And then Jesus continues, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." See, when God sealed them into the ark, they were under His seal of protection. They were guaranteed safety through the floodwaters. The floodwaters would come and lift the ark up, but they would destroy and bury the world below. Those in the ark would be far above that destruction and the evil that was being destroyed below them. The waters brought judgment and death upon the earth, but also cleansing and deliverance from the destruction for those who trusted God, who entered the ark. Rescued by God because they believed what God said. And God closed the door and sealed them in so they could not fall out. They were in God's protecting hand. Do you know Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins so He could triumph over sin, so we could be rescued from this present evil age? Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." You see, Jesus has become an ark for us. And those who trust in that salvation offered up by Jesus, by asking Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, we are sealed into that salvation, just as Noah and all who were with him were sealed in. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." We, as believers in Christ, are sealed in to a relationship with the Father. We cannot and will not suffer the judgment that will come upon this present world. When God has had enough of its wickedness and He brings judgment on this present world, He holds us in His hand where we will never fear losing our salvation. But it's up to us to accept that gift of God. That gift that God offers, just as Noah and his family accepted the gift to enter into the ark. Now that's, I'm going to tell you something, this is one boat we don't want to miss. Just as Noah and his family didn't want to miss theirs. This is one boat we want to make sure we have our passage ticket for. If we make the choice to trust God for the salvation He offers, it will not mean that our lives will be free of trouble. It doesn't mean that. Noah and his family had to ride out the rough waves. All the rough waves of the flood in the ark. They had to clean the stalls, feed the animals, water them, take care of all the dung that came from them and get rid of it. They had to do all of those things while they were enjoying their salvations. You know, Jesus made it clear that as long as we're in this world, we are going to have troubles. There are going to be things we're going to have to put up with. In John 16, 33, He says, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, we are sealed in. We are in God's hand, and He will carry us through. We'll have to suffer through some of the buffeting and battering that the world has to throw at us, just as Noah and those with him in the ark did. But they were never alone, and neither will we be. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hebrews 13:5 says the same thing. The Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be with us as we trust in Him for our salvation. God will always be with us. It will not always be an easy walk, but it'll always be one that we know our reward waits on the other side. So think about this. Have you had a life-changing event? That event of receiving Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior? If not, I'm going to say this. Don't wait. None of us knows what the next minute or two will bring upon our lives. We could walk out the door of this facility and a bus comes creaming down the road. I know you're saying, a bus here? Who knows? Only God knows. Or the crazy moose that lives over by the river here could meet us at the door and trample us to death. We don't know, so we shouldn't wait. Noah and his family took God at His word, accepted the ticket onto the ark, and went. And God sealed them in to protect them. Then are we being buffeted by the waves of the world around us? Are there things going on in our lives that's like, oh man, I just wish this was over? We need to be patient, because God will deliver us through those to the other side as well. God loves us. He wants the best for us. But sometimes the best comes with a spanking, or with some discipline, or with some correcting. Or sometimes just some suffering, so we're better people than who we were. So we need to mark this event in our hearts and our minds that, you know, this was a life-changing event for Noah and his family. So much so, it's repeated again and again. Who went on the ark? What was included? What God did? And how it changed their lives. Just as when we ask Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior, it will change our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that You are a gracious God. We thank You that You love us more than we can ever imagine, Father, and that You want the very best for us. And Father, You want us to have the life-changing event of receiving Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior. Because without that, we have no hope and no promise for what we have in this world. And really, there's nothing in this world for us. So Lord, help us. Help us to direct our hearts and minds toward You. Help us when the waves of life come to batter us and buffet us around, that we would just know that we are secure in Your hand. That no matter what the world throws at us, no matter what happens in our lives, that You will never let us go, because we have trusted in You for what You have for us. We thank You for that, Father, and we give You the glory in what You're going to do. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.